monitoring.
Marshal, KO4HKX. Patrick here.
Patrick, you out and about on this cold morning?
Pulling out of the driveway.
Feel right?
It's just outside of Bavard.
Yep. So, it really amazes me all the long drives some of you people out here in this area take to get to work.
Commuting goes on around here. A lot of people don't realize that, but, you know, just not a lot of industry up here, but people like to live in this area.
And it kept me out of here for quite a few years while the kids were young. I figured the opportunities for work, and especially as teenagers and things like that, young adults, was better down in Jacksonville than it was up here.
I was born and raised here, so as a teenager, there's not a lot of choices to make if you want to stay here.
Down here in Jacksonville, Florida, within a 3/4 mile in either direction, you could have found probably 30 or 40 jobs for teenagers, you know, the McDonald's, Burger King, Starbucks, Moe's, things like that, not including grocery stores and stuff like that.
Roger that. You can find jobs up here for teenagers along those lines, but they're not quite as plentiful as they are in places like that, that's for sure.
That's the reason we waited till we had both retired before coming up this way. Can afford it up here, don't have to worry about the job situation or anything else. And, you know, now when I go home back down there, I see more cars in the neighborhood than I see all day up here between Columbus and more city areas.
Quite the contrast between here and there.
Yeah.
A Matco tool franchise, so I drive around to mechanic shops and anywhere that needs hand tools or power tools and sell them.
That kind of a business. There's quite a few of those trucks around Florida down there.
Too many of our brand down there. Don't know why, but not real common in that area. Matco tools, not Mac. MATCO, Matco. For some reason, it's just not real strong in the Florida area there, in Jacksonville.
That Snap-on trucks we saw a lot of, but I saw a lot of the tool trucks like that down there. I just don't remember the brand names on them.
Probably seen Snap-on and Mac. They're pretty prevalent in that area. A little competition always makes you stronger, right?
Anyway.
That's what they say. I find less competition sometimes makes you stronger, but more competition does make for a better business for everybody.
That. I guess there's some stuff to be said about being the only game in the area, too.
That. So what did you do before you retired?
Been out in law enforcement like 40 years ago, back in the 70s and 80s, and then after I met my wife, I was working security at a hospital down there, met her in there when I was, she wanted me to go to college, so I went to college, got a BS in computer science, and spent 30 years as a software developer before retiring in 2018.
That's interesting career field differences there, but Leon, NC9B, he was a police officer also. He worked down in Charleston and up here in Hendersonville. And he has a lot of the same interest you do. He done cell phone stuff. You know, he owned a cell phone store for a little while, so kind of the same stuff going on there, electronics police officer.
I wanted to be when I was a kid, so the day I turned 21, I bought my first pistol, and I put my application in with Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. I spent 6 years as a special deputy with them before going military police, and did 2 years active, and then 3 years in reserve as military police. I did a lot of stuff with phones in the latter part of my professional career there. especially voice over IP and IVR type systems. So it's kind of what I specialized in at the end.
So have you played around much with the Ham Shack hotline?
Charles gave me a phone to use, but they wouldn't let me join the network or the ham place because I'm out in the middle of the woods here, and my network or my internet access is via Verizon wireless home internet, and they would not do it because I was on that, and they also wouldn't do it because my residence of record is still in Florida, not up here, and so they wouldn't let me join. They wouldn't let me attach to the network, so I gave the phone back to Charles, and he gave it to somebody else.
I mean, the address thing I can kind of understand, but what's the deal with the Verizon? It's still internet.
Cellular, and that's kind of what this is. Of course, you know, I'm here in north, in the western part of Polk County, but my IP address for everything gets recognized over out of Nashville, sometimes Knoxville, so I don't know if that had something to do with it or what. I don't remember all the specifics, but I tried over a week or two there, and they just would not let me in. They wouldn't change their rules for me.
I just figured that would be right up your alley. The only reason I asked, but hey, it's their system. I guess they can do it with it what they want to.
It would have been kind of up my alley, but probably would have just divided my time more. Now I got more time to play with my SDRs and those types of things, more time to play on HF. I'm also the president of the POA here in this neighborhood, and that's taken a lot of my time away from my radio. So I think in June, when a new set of officers or elections come around, I'm not going to run again. I'm just going to stay out of it and play radio.
With that, you never know what might come in there behind you, changing everything, telling you you can't put an antenna up for this, that, or the other. I don't want anything to do with a HOA or anything to do with a housing development because of that.
Highlands is a gated community along the Green River here, and the rules are pretty lax, dealing more with size of the house and things like that. You can do, but I got 4 acres here. 3+ of it are heavily wooded, so there's a lot of stuff you can hide out there in the trees, and nobody know about it.
That's for sure. That's a pretty good sized chunk of land to be in housing development, but a lot of them up here are going that route. I know there's one close to me. The smallest in there is like 10 acres. So there's some of them that actually want to do it right, and then there's others that just want to pack them in there.
At the place I live and the house I still own in Jacksonville down there, that neighborhood has 5,800 homes in it, and I got maybe a quarter of an acre there on a lake. And they don't bow antennas, but, you know, you'd be surprised what you can stick up in a tree and keep stealth in there, and that's what I did when I was down there. Up here, it's just a lot easier on me, and for us that, but it's taking too much time, and I retired, and you know, I want to enjoy my hobby, not spend all my time with equipment sitting idle in there while I do other stuff. So I guess we'll just keep at it. W4MKH for ID.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. You didn't move up here and retire to have to deal with somebody else's business.
I don't know. I was on the board down there in Florida for, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 years, and then I've only been on the board here for a year, and this will be my last term. I don't think I ever want to do that again. I don't mind living in HOA because I know how to put up stealth stuff and get away with it. But I don't want to be any kind of leadership roles anymore.
Well, are you going to the Greenwood Ham Fest this weekend?
Brad, earlier this morning we were talking. I don't think so. The Saturday is supposed to be a really bad weather day. I'm a Florida boy, so I've driven in snow a grand total of 2 times in my life. think I'll just stay inside this weekend and not take any chances on snow and ice or anything like that. I'd love to go. Maybe things will be set up so I can go over to Shelby later this year.
He is a pretty good one to go to. I was just curious, you know, I like to, instead of put faces with call signs, shake a hand, that kind of thing. So I'd like to know who I'm looking for.
I was living in Jacksonville when I got my license back in 2006. In 2007, we were up here on vacation, and I sat for my general at a ham fest up here. I believe it was over in Clyde, if my memory's correct, somewhere in that area over there, west of Asheville.
Second, I'm going in a dip here.
That's KM4NAP.
Patrick just went into a dip, so he'll be back in a minute.
KO4HK, and I'll lose the repeater here in just a minute, so you guys carry on, and Marshall, good to talk to you this morning, Ed, it's good to hear you, and I'll catch y'all here in about 10-15 minutes when I cross the state line, but Ken ought to be here in about 5 minutes, KO4HK, and I'll be on the side for now. Step 3, guys, I'll catch you in a minute.
Just be careful coming down that road, because you never know what surprise you might get. Like you, I'm going to stay home if the weather is bad, but I think we're going to try and go down there if it's decent weather, but I'm afraid it's not going to be.
You probably have a lot more experience driving on stuff like that than me. The last time it snowed in Jacksonville, Florida, and we were riding stuff like that was December 24th of 1989.
Driven in some real deep stuff, and couldn't even get home. I had to stay at the Holiday Inn and spend the night there and then come in to work the next day because other people couldn't get into work. So I spent basically 72 hours just about around the clock.
The only times I really driven any kind of snow was I flew out to Denver and heading to the company I was working for remotely, and they were up in Boulder, so I had to drive from Denver up to Boulder, and there was snow on the road, but most of the interstate and other roads had been cleared, and my only real experience.
Out to Cheyenne several years ago, it's probably been 30 years or more, and we went out and watched fireworks 4th of July. I had to get jackets because we were about to freeze, and it snowed during the night. So, it was like a real fine powder as you walked. It just sort of fluffed away from your feet.
That was kind of unexpected, at least for me. I would think so, but they're probably used to that out there.
They said it was common. I talked to a guy the other day in Cheyenne, and he asked what temperature was, and I said it's 38. And he said, oh, up here, that'd be a heat wave.
That lived in Alaska for years, he said, you know, he could go out there in the snow, you know, outside, and it's 40 below or something like that there, he could go outside in shorts and a t-shirt, couldn't stay out there long, you'd freeze to death, but you didn't feel it like you did down here because, you know, it was a lot drier.
Oklahoma to see the wife's uncle, he's a command sergeant major out there at Fort Sill. And I was out with the kids playing tennis at 120 degrees, and I couldn't even tell it was hot. And his wife came out and said, y'all better come in because it's too hot out here for anybody to be doing that. She said, y'all don't, as soon as you sweat, it evaporates. So she got us by the ear and took us in the house and made us drink ice water.
Jacksonville lived all of my life down there, but humidity down there could kill you. It's like walking outside was like walking into a swimming pool or a lake or something sometimes.
I built the police department in Orlando. They sent me down there to help out and work. And I pretty much ran up and down the coast, anywhere from West Virginia on down to Florida, but I never did go into Georgia.
I spent 6 years back in the late 70s, early 80s as a special deputy with Jacksonville Sheriff's Department. That's where I got my start.
Good it is today. I miss it. If I could go back, I would.
Like me, even though I miss it and would love to, I'm just thankful in my day everybody out there didn't have cell phones with cameras on them.
True, but I always try to treat somebody like I'd want to be treated, but if they wanted to be a jerk, I gave it right back to them. So they set the tone, not me.
Yeah, that's the way I was. I'd give you all kinds of chances, but if you're going to be sitting there and stupid and not listen to me, then you're going to have to, you know, pay the price for that. But now they're out there, everybody's standing around videotaping you, just looking for you to say the wrong word or do something that's wrong. And I guess that's why a lot of them carry body cams today on the cops, too.
Got to carry the body cams now, but that's something we never did do. I can't complain. These college kids here, we had about 1% that gave us a little trouble, but the largest majority of them were pretty good kids.
Things go. It's a small percentage that make cause all the problems. I remember back then we first started getting vests, you know, bulletproof vests. So that was kind of in the old days. I actually carried a revolver in those days. I carried a 357 Magnum and had to keep 38s in the pouch on the belt in case you had to, you know, share ammo with somebody. And I don't know of any cop ever had to share ammo with somebody.
Police say that I did. We got a alarm one night, and I had just started, and I was driving, and the guy that was training me looked over. He said, "You got any extra bullets?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "I left mine at home. Can I have six?"
I suppose it happens then. I just had never encountered that. But I did, you know, you could carry 357 Magnum. You could carry ammo for it, too. But you also had to have the 38 Special there in your dump pouch. And I usually carried a pocket in a wallet ammo pack in my back pocket. And carried a 38 Special snub nose on my ankle and a 25 in another pocket. So had backup stuff, but never had to use it. Never actually had to fire the gun during that time, so I'm thankful for that.
I had to fire at anybody, but I have shot a few tires down. And I went in to pull a guy out one morning. He had stolen a car. And the guy that was riding with him had his hands up on the windshield, and he told me, he said, he's got a knife open. He said, he's going to try and gut you. So I pulled him out daintily and handcuffed him, and sure enough, there was a big old knife open, holding a knife open in his left front pocket.
Yeah, I've come close once or twice, but never actually had to do it. We managed to handle the situation without it. W4MKH for ID there.
AP for ID. I worked a wreck one night, me and a lieutenant. A car ran a red light and T-boned the car. Wasn't bad. And we worked it and stood there and talked to him, and he talked back and forth and thus and was ever said. And about an hour later, the county gave out a bolo, and it was him. He had just shot and killed somebody at, over in Oconee at the hospital. And me and the lieutenant looked at each other and said, you know, he could have killed us at any time. But he seemed to be a halfway decent guy. He went straight to the sheriff in York County here and turned himself in.
Incidents like that with DUIs where, you know, some guys or another cop had let them go, and then a few minutes later they total somebody's life.
Seen that. The funniest DUI I ever had was I pulled a guy over, opened the door, and asked him to step out. Well, he couldn't step out. He just poured out on the pavement and looked up at me and said, "I'm sorry."
I don't miss that part of the job, you know. You got to search or pat one of them down. They puked on themselves from the waist up, peed on themselves from the waist down. So it can be a real, I guess, messy situation there.
I'd ever tried to kill me with a woman. She tried to run over me with her car. she would not pull over, and I jumped out. I was going to open the passenger door and reach in and cut the car off, but she rolled me off her fender. We wound up having to shoot her tires down, and she still kept going. And at the time, we didn't know it was a woman. We thought it was a man.
Women, I don't know, guys tend to think, you know, they're the weaker sex or something like that, and you're a little bit careful. But if you aren't careful, they will whip your butt.
Clear in the police academy when I was going through, we had a female instructor, and she said, just because I'm a woman, don't treat me no different. And she had us pat her down just like a man. And every one of us missed a gun in her bra.
Listen there, didn't you?
She chewed us up one side, down the other. And her boyfriend worked down there. He was a game warden. He was over there rolling on, just about on the ground laughing at us.
You're at University Hospital there in Jacksonville, with their security department, back when I get hands-on with some people that were crazy or strung out on drugs or just drunk enough to be aggressive and all, and combative. And you got to be careful. They will, like I said, whip your butt in a heartbeat.
I'm going to play it for me when I had to deal with them, but I saw through it. I still wrote them a ticket. Except one lady. I pulled her over for speed, and she said, I'm fixing to have a baby. And I looked in there, and sure enough, she was pregnant, and her water had just busted. So I said, go help yourself. Go on to the hospital.
Before I have to deliver that baby.
For calves and cats and dogs and horses and pigs. I, you know, my mama was an RN. And she sat me down and told me how to do it if I ever had to. So, I mean, I'd have just closed my eyes and hoped for the best.
You do it, but never had to. When I was working security at the hospital there, the dispatch office was out there off the back of the hospital there at the entrance ramp for ER, and I've seen them deliver them in the parking lot there, and they didn't quite make it in time. They just got pulled up, and that baby came. So luckily, I never had to do it myself.
Family, she had 22 kids, and the last one, she went to the hospital. She'd had a little bit of a pain. She bent over a water fountain and get her some water and look down, and there sat the kid on the floor. I'm around way out.
The hospital I was working at did all the indigent, I can't even say that word, care for the county. And so, you know, we got quite a diverse population coming in and out of there. And it also had the county or city's mental ward there. So the whole fourth floor was under lockdown. Either, well, half of it was. The other half was walk-in mental patients where they could come in for training and stuff. But the bad ones were kept behind secure doors. So got some weird situations in the mental ward there.
Imagine, I never did have to deal with anything like that. Most of the time, if we had a subject like that, we put him in back of the patrol car and took him down to the state facility in Florence.
There.
On the frequency, come on in and join us.
KW Mobile. I said, now I was just sitting here and enjoying the conversation.
Question for you from Carol. I showed her where y'all canned all that meat and stuff, and she wondered, did you use one of those vacuum things that you put on top of the jar to seal them, or did you put them in a pressure cooker or what?
I'm in a pressure cooker for over 11 pounds for those size jars is an hour and 15 minutes.
But I'll be the one doing it because she will not touch a pressure cooker. She had one to explode and get all over in front of her one shirt, dress, and everything when she was little. So she has no use for a pressure cooker.
And the old-time ones were kind of like that. The newer ones, I mean, mine's got like a safety plug that'll blow out if you have an issue and that. But, yeah, all that meat was uncooked. You pack it in a jar raw, put whatever spices and that you want in it, a little bit of cannon salt, and then it actually cooks in the jar.
Well, come on in here, Marshal.
Running's trying to look up Ken here on the QRZ. Still trying to figure out and identify everybody around here and what repeaters to be listening to and working.
Usually here in the morning crew, 5 days a week, and a little bit in the afternoon. Usually I'm talking to my wife on the way home, so I don't usually get on the radio much, but that's about it for me. Ed and I used to do a little bit of HF together, and that, but I ain't been on HF in a little while.
For HF more than I'm on it, but I got a couple different nets during the day that I joined, so I like HF. That's kind of where I started in this hobby back in the 70s, so it's always been a favorite of mine.
That we do a little bit of POTA chasing and, you know, chasing contests and stuff like that, but not too much. It helped out really during COVID, you know, when you were locked down at the house for sure.
Never had any problems with COVID because I worked from home the last 13 years of my career, so I was used to staying home all day and staying busy, so it wasn't really a problem for me.
And I was furloughed for 12 weeks, and during that time I went and hunted me another job.
Got COVID, and I slept next to her in bed every night, and my son got COVID. I never got it, so I don't know if I'm immune, just lucky, or God looks out for dummies like me. I don't know.
Come on back in here, Ed. And it must be the other guys should be out there.
Yeah, because I'm a bad guy just crossing the state line.
UF Mobile, good morning.
Morning, Jody. Morning, Patrick.
Morning, Jody. Good to hear both of you. I've already been talking with Marshall and Ed there for a minute before I got to the black hole.
Good morning, everybody.
The neighborhood.
Morning, dude.
The neighborhood gone now.
Good to hear you.
Understand you just got back from a dip.
To the black hole. I made it out the other side.
Jack, I went up and checked Vicky to see if she slept with a bra, a gun in her bra, you know.
Stay away from her.
What about EN4AZ?
Try out that generator this weekend.
Ken, I was just looking at the weather, and they're saying we're going to get maybe 3 inches, but it's going to start, I think they said, maybe Friday afternoon, and wee hours of Saturday, it's gone and out of here. So they said it'd be a little snow, maybe some mixture of stuff. Off and pretend. Well, I want to hear it. Red hadn't even come on yet to exercise or whatever they call it. I'm supposed to do that. I don't know if they set it up for a week or 2 weeks.
During the latter part of that storm we had back in September. Generac back in when the storm came through for 96 hours straight.
Ran hers and for 8 days. Yeah.
As it did not bother my radios. Even on HF, I don't pick up any extra QRM or QRN, any of that kind of stuff from it.
You know, I don't think they got any ripple. I think they're going to put out 60 hertz. I know I checked this one and it's doing 60 hertz.
Big stuff for that. It'll kick in about 8 to 15 seconds after the power goes off. Make sure it's not just a quick brownout, and then it'll run until power comes back on, and after about 5 minutes of continuous power, it'll cut itself off.
When they tested it. So how long have you had yours?
Of 2023.
I just wondered how reliable yours was.
With it. I had it under maintenance and can be monitored by Never Dark and who installed it. And they came out here about, I guess it's in early to mid-November and did a maintenance and
did a oil change and a tune. They do that after so many hours of it running. And just been fine.
So we got 7 years of maintenance they'll take care of. They monitor it on the Wi-Fi somehow or another. I got to get it on my phone, too. But they said we don't have to do anything but just listen to it run. When you get them.
You know, well, I say next door, the house is well over, I guess, 100 yards from me or so here in the woods. And they've got one going the other direction. It's got one. There's about three of us or so right in this area here that have them. So we kind of provided electricity and charging and showers and water and stuff for people during the storm there.
Yeah, they came out yesterday and they're looking. We're going to put one in at my daughter's house because she lives up kind of away from everything, so she's going to have propane. But they said it'll be a month or so before they get hers in.
She's had kidney failure, so she sleeps with a dialysis machine every night. And I just told them, you know, we can't have power going out. It's a health issue for her. And they were pretty quick on getting us installed and set up.
They're way behind right now. Everybody's putting these things in. But anyway, y'all go ahead. I'm going to take a break here and let one of you guys pick it up. N4AZ.
I'm going to go back to monitor and listen to you guys talk, too.
KN4TFW. ZLE Mobile. 4CLE, I believe it was. Welcome to the group, KO4HKX. Patrick here.
ZLE, it'd be Kilo Quebec 4 Zulu Lima Echo. Good morning, guys. I was listening to y'all talking about delivering babies and stuff. I'm a retired paramedic. I've delivered 6 myself. I deal with psychiatric patients now full time. And then the wife, she don't have a gun in her bra, but she got a big old 357 Magnum laying on the table beside her.
Kilo November 4 Tango Foxtrot Whiskey. The name's Ken.
So it's Anthony on this way. I'm on Interstate 85 northbound, headed toward the work this morning. Hope everybody's doing well.
For AZ Dude.
Northbound on 85. I'm just passing the 67.
More southern than you. I'm actually coming up on the 27-mile marker. I live almost at the Georgia-South Carolina state line, headed toward the Greenville Way.
You're making the repeater pretty good.
Low any tone 25-watt mobile stuck in my car. It's small and seems to work.
Any tone 878s HTs, and I have to say I've been pretty impressed with the any tone radios. I just wish they had a bigger screen on them.
Do really well. It's the 778 UV, I think it is. I can't see the model number on it right now, but yeah, I figure I'd give it a try. Pretty inexpensive. I've got a ICOM 2100H 2-meter in my truck that I really like, but I'm going to put a dual band in it for too long.
It's a morning person, 5 days a week.
I work 312s a week, and it's mixed around a little bit. This just happens to be on one of the mornings that I'm headed to work, and then I got to work this weekend. I don't know how this crazy weather is going to do.
As I say, just hop in and join us anytime. We're usually here at least 4 days a week, from about 5:30 to 6:30.
All right, guys. This is KQ4ZLE.
Tony.
That's something my mom never would let get started. She'd have a fit somebody called me Tony. So it just never stuck.
KH Marshall here. We'll look for you in the mornings.
Anthony, I get that. I'm Patrick, and everybody likes to try to shorten mine to Pat, and that's something I never cared for, so I understand what you're saying. I've arrived here at the gate to switch vehicles, so I'm going to be out for just a few minutes, and then I'll be back. KO4HKX, clear for now.
Things a whole different radio. You come back and have my gauge pegged. Good morning.
4NAP, I'm a kicking. I got my coffee in one hand and the mic in the other, so I'm set for a while.
Make coffee.
My coffee. And the only bad habit I got. A diabetic, I got to leave donuts alone.
Donut is the plain cake donut.
I ate my fair share of them, but when the doctor says no more, and you're having to take
it. My son was getting up there borderline, but he's lost about 30 pounds, so he's in decent shape right now.
He's a diabetic, too, and he took her off insulin and put her on another injection, and she's lost a little better than 30-something pounds since November. And her blood sugar runs basically in the 30s, low 40s, 130 and 140.
KN4 KFW.
Like that.
Well, C is a 6.2, and mine is a 6.7 or 8, if I remember right.
Good.
Have their turn.
Good.
Got you on snow duty for Friday. Call from Miss Annette.
Fire. Here did that this morning, and then he went over to do an 80-meter net. I think he's going to lay down and take a nap or something before the doctor's appointment today, he said. Good. Been on since about 3 o'clock this morning. About 4. I'm on 75 or 80, the can't sleep net. And then they said, I said, what are y'all doing up so early? They said, well, we couldn't sleep. I said, well, that's why I'm here. I couldn't sleep. I woke up. 3915, I think, was the number. I believe it is. He went over there. I heard him check in over there, and he was number 38, I think, on their list. So there must have been a bunch of other guys that were couldn't sleep either this morning. Is the can't sleep net? Early bird net or something like that. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been on it, but I thought that was funny. You know, they said, yeah, so-and-so is going. He went back to bed, but he'll never go to sleep. He'll be back in a few minutes. Pick up about 4 to 6 every day, and so I get up and come in here and listen to you guys going to work, stuff like that. But last night I just couldn't sleep, so I finally got up so the wife could sleep instead of having to lay there and me turn over both ways and try everything in the book to get to sleep and keep her awake. See, and I just got lightheaded. He mentioned that word.
But I hate it. Some of us got a few more years of that left.
I think he'll be retired before you know it.
And he's going and keeping up the kids and the grandkids. It's like, man, I'm going to have to work till I'm about 90.
It'll change. Just wait on it. They want to hire the young guys, so I retired and made more money than I was making as a developer.
One career and end up having to work another one, KQ4ZLE.
You're busier when you retire. Before I'd never go back to work. My point of our residency is still in Florida since I have the house down there and everything. My kids live in that. But I don't want to work up here.
Miles out from getting off the interstate up here at exit 80.
Engage.
Dude, I'm just, I got it on mid-range 25 watts. For some reason, it, when I put it on 50 watts, it messes with my dash cam.
I'm pegged over here.
About this radio, it's, ICOM 2730, I think it's 2738. I bought it open box 5 years ago. Ain't had a lick of trouble with it.
This is a 2300H is what it says on it. And 4AZE.
X, back to the group.
Mark.
Welcome back.
Confirm vehicle to get into a cold one. Been here when all them metal tools get cold. cold. Takes a little while to get warmed up.
That's right.
It's working this morning. That's all I can say is it fired up like it's supposed to. You and Ken doubled there, but I had it worked on Monday morning, first thing. I didn't get what you said there, Ken.
I was asking, you have auxiliary heat, right?
A propane furnace in the back, but I don't leave it on at night. Just waste too much propane. Four truck set up just like a camper. The only thing it's missing is water and a bathroom.
You guys could hang out in a tool truck, couldn't you?
Well,
tank on that.
A 40 or 50 gallon tank on it. It'll about twice a winter or something like that.
Tank off another tank.
I've got the stuff to fill the little 1 pound cylinders off of the grill tanks, but I've not done it yet.
500 tank buried out there. It's been out there since we built, and it's over half full, and we really don't use it for anything since we went to natural gas, and I was wondering if I could use, if we could not charge the gas grill tanks or something off of it.
Hey, you on that one.
A good idea. Up, you know.
Wouldn't take much.
I don't know what they are. Little tanks, they're, I don't know what they hold, 5 gallons maybe or something, but, you know, you constantly have to go back and forth to the convenience store and swap them out.
For 20-pound cylinders. I don't know on that one. I never thought about it, never messed with it.
To do that. You're filling up your little tanks, the little, that's how you get those little green tanks, right?
I have not done it yet.
We'll see how to do it, but I did YouTube mechanics and stuff. I might blow up.
I said I get my propane from, everyone's telling me how to do it and showed me what to do.
We got it sitting out there, and it's, you know, it's been out there for years. It's paid for, so it's over. There's over 200 gallons in it. Not bad, does it?
Well, that's why I'll use it for my generators. It's easier to store and not have to worry about it.
Put it up to a bottle.
Generators that do that, little portable generators that are tri-fuel. Don't need anything any smaller than the 20-pound grill cylinders. Hours, depending on how much load you put on it.
Get it into the parking lot here, so I'm going to say 7-3. Everybody have a awesome, safe day, and I look forward to catching you guys down the line. KN4 TFW.
You have a safe day in KO4 HKX.
Don't work too hard.
KW4 MKH.
Kelly, I'm heading the same thing, headed into work, guys. I appreciate the conversation this morning and the welcome. Everybody have a good day.
Guys, KM4 NAP.
7-3, Anthony, and you're welcome any morning, KO4 HKX.
7-3, Anthony, KN4 TFW.
See you, Anthony, N4AZ80. It'll work. From 2 inches to 3 inches now for Friday.
Here for Western North Carolina.
About, where they said they said 2.9 inches now is what they're saying. Snow and a mix. And it's coming back on. I'll watch it and let you know. N4AZ80. You guys getting more than us. Radar.
Comment. Comment after you do, but I didn't catch who it was or what they said.
Chittersonville, Rutherfordton, all up in there is going to get more than us. Actually, they're showing us now. Their numbers are showing y'all 2.4 inches,
In Hendersonville, Rutherfordton, 1.9 inches, Asheville, 1.9, we're showing 2.9.
Engage with school A. Contact
the was the other repeater that's interfering with ours, bleeding over, but I don't know, there's something else going on there, too.
Hey, buddy, yeah, but it's showing y'all, what was it, 1.4, and we're getting 2.9, so y'all are getting, Rutherfordton's getting about the same, too.
It comes and goes pretty annoying sometimes.
Get any of that, what I told you?
Yeah, I got all of it. Y'all are supposed to get more than we are.
About that.
Well, that goes. But you never know. Mountains could hold it down here.
They're going to get hammered.
I'll have to look at the weather here when I get stopped and get everything opened up. Look at the computer models and see which way it's coming from. Most of these weather forecasters don't know what they're talking about either. They haven't been forecasting weather long enough around here to figure it out.
Sell some groceries.
They don't know how to use their call sign, so I just ignore it. Coming in there when they shouldn't be. Just like I said, don't pay it any attention. They don't know how to use their call sign, if they even have one.
Presentation, keep people busy, so they just got us covering some stuff for them. But yeah, this snow's gonna be tricky. We're gonna see. I just dread the ice. Ice in some areas. I don't know if it's in North Carolina, but they're calling for some ice. I just don't know how much or anything.
But little balsa wood wings and little tinky
wheels and whatnot to go on them. I mean, they only lasted for so long, but they were fun.
He slid in that little stick body.
Yep.
A little O10 on one of those. That's how little it is.
On that glow fuel.
About that, you're the only one that I've talked to that had any idea about these things.
I might have to Google that to see what it looks like. I mean, the little tank reservoir has got to be teeny tiny, too.
It's a little bitty thing. It's called a TD. It's funny looking, a little motor. It doesn't do like the 049. It's got a little Venturi in the front of it at an angle.
Yeah.
10.
I'll look that one up once I get to work.
I guess I need to look it up and see what they're putting them on, too.
Up and listens, and if he's quiet, he calls me a little bit and says, wait for him. But in the meantime, I read. I've got about three books. So it's like a book roulette. I get one, get the bookmark out, read a chapter, put the bookmark in, pick up the other. So those are jostling books. Trying to see which one I'm in today. Yeah, it looks like we get a little snow, what, 1 to 3 inches, maybe 4 Friday, and then the rain, sleet, and all that stuff. So, whoa, happy sailing, guys. W4FCM.
On for the ride.
He's made of tracks, that plastic wood. It's a little bit of ice makes it. You would not believe it. It's slicker than an ice rink. My feet, I look like a trench when I go out there. They go everywhere in the world. So I just hang on and hope for a happy landing. Been pretty successful so far. So, hey, bring it on. Sounds pretty. W4FCM.
About sleet and freezing rain. I wish it would just stay away.
Have in it.
Oh. The little Ford Rangers don't do well in anything. The back's so light, they just spin and bounce around. So, snow's okay, but I say it's just treacherous, guys. But, yeah, good to hear this morning. And get my bookmark back in here. W4FCM, listening.
In 4AZE.
Having the snow when it first hit. Probably leave at lunch, which is about the time the snow's supposed to start.
Noon. After the snow's over, you can go to the grocery store and the bread will be fresh.
Okay. Right. Morning.
Hey, Pete. I'm doing good. Just sitting here and enjoying listening to the conversations.
I'm about too late for Ken. He's probably already at work. I've been trying to avoid getting out early in the morning. Enjoy it while I can.
But yeah, Ken's already at work, unfortunately. But we're supposed to have up to 2 inches here, and on Saturday, maybe 2 inches of sleet and freezing rain.
Hey, took out all the trees that were near the power line, so it won't be too bad if we get freezing rain. Extra gas for the generator, just in case.
It snows, because Mama's wanting snow ice cream.
Milk's all about.
That many people's never heard of it.
My boys, I don't even think they put it in their mouth.
As soon as it got deep enough, they were out there getting snow, and their mama was out there with them, and they wind up getting a big bowl of snow, and then they get into a snowball fight.
Three.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just getting everything opened up.
Listening to you guys talk.
I'm back out of here for a little while, and y'all on the road, y'all be careful and have a good day at work. And Marshall, you have a good day at retirement. So hopefully I'll catch you sometime on the radio today. So KM4NAP will be clear and listening.
It's good to hear you this morning, KO4HKX.
KO4CF.
There, Ed. You enjoy your day. Hey, don't forget to hook up to that IV, that coffee where you get going. See ya in 4AZE. and coffee stuff, just see what that's about. Coffee maker Vicky's got. I think she just puts a little water in it and pops one of these little things in there, and about a minute it makes coffee.